Match game, baby. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Monday morning, my dad will call in and tell a joke. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the seventh floor of Trib Tower. Here until 5 a.m. and then the opening bell with Steve Grzanich at 5 and my friend and yours, the great Steve Cochran, at 6. That, of course, was the theme to Match Game, which, in my opinion, is the best game show ever, and clearly the best game show theme of all time, and was thrilled that they used the theme, you know, on the show. And here's the thing. Last night, ABC started Sunday Fun and Games. I'm guessing it's just a summer thing, that they'll do it, you know, throughout the summer. But last night on ABC, three primetime hours were covered with reboots of classic game shows. So at 7 o'clock, it was Celebrity Family Feud. And then at 8 o'clock was $100,000 Pyramid. And then at 9 o'clock was the reboot of Match Game. And I have to tell you, that makes me happy. Because I love game shows. And I love the classic game shows. And I liked what ABC did with it, and it was fun to watch. It really was. They've got To Tell the Truth, a new version of To Tell the Truth, which is actually going to air on Tuesdays. And, you know, it's weird because I think the game show stuff is making a comeback, well, for several reasons. When they, Esmeralda, you ever watch Hollywood Game Night with Jane Lynch?
I haven't.
Oh, you've never seen it, really?
No.
Dan, have you ever watched it? Am I the only person that's watched
it?
No,
I've seen it.
Yeah, it's a fun show. And, you know, you get some celebrities up there and six, I believe, on either side. And there were two contestants, and they play a bunch of different games, you know, and it's set up to look like they're in a house. There's a bar there and a band. It's very, very loose. Jane Lynch won an Emmy. She won an Emmy for hosting the thing. And there's also a celebrity name game with my hero, Craig Ferguson, who also won an Emmy. He won a daytime Emmy for hosting. Guy never won an Emmy when he was the best late-night show on television. I don't even know if he ever got nominated, but Craig Ferguson was the greatest host in the history of late night, except for Carson. And his show was spectacular. The Secretariat didn't get an Emmy either. Neither did Jeffrey Peterson, the gay robot sidekick. Anyway, but I think that's that, you know, the Hollywood Game Night really took off. I mean, the ratings for that show were really, really big. And I think Jimmy Fallon, I really do. I think The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon has added to the enjoyment of people enjoying game shows. Because you ever watch The Tonight Show, Esmeralda? Because you're usually here.
Right. I've only seen it in clips.
And now you see that he does play a series of games, you know, when people come on.
Yeah.
And, like, he'll do classic stuff like Password, and then he'll do stuff like Pictionary and Charades and stuff like that. And I think people get a kick out of watching celebrities play these games. And, Fallon's show, as not great as it is, or as how not he's not really great, but, he appeals to younger viewers. And I think he turned younger viewers on, you know, at least a portion of the public who watch The Tonight Show on a regular basis. He does like a game almost every night. You know, I mean, at least three nights a week, the celebrity guests play games on his show. And it's one of the more popular segments on the show. And that's the stuff that gets shown on the internet. That's how I see it, because I don't want to see him interview anybody because I think he's a terrible interviewer. But I think it's hilarious to see, like, Jennifer Lawrence play charades. I think that's funny. And I think that has something to do with why these decisions are being made to bring these old school game shows back. You know, one, it's nostalgia. Two, there's a younger audience that are getting turned on to this stuff because of Jimmy Fallon and because of Hollywood Game Night. And three, it's easy and cheap to put together. So I'm be curious to see what the ratings were like last night for ABC's primetime stuff. I posted that I was watching it. A lot of people replied on my Facebook page, so I wasn't the only one who was watching this stuff. Match Game is my favorite. Match Game is my favorite, and the reboot of Match Game has Alec Baldwin as your host. And he did a good job. He's no Gene Rayburn. And because, you know, well, first of all, Gene Rayburn's the best game show host of all time. Gene Rayburn is the king. And you cannot, you know, top nor even match, no pun intended. Wait a minute, hold it now, hold it. I said match. Gene Rayburn. Alec Baldwin, they did, and I will say this, they did give him the skinny mic. And I was very pleased to see that. When Alec Baldwin walked out and he pulled the skinny mic out, I was like, good for you. Good for you. Paying tribute to Rayburn with the skinny mic. Absolutely necessary. And on the panel were Tytus Burgess from The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt and 30 Rock. In the second seat, which was always Brett Summers' seat, Rosie O'Donnell was in that seat. The third seat, which was always Charles Nelson Reilly's seat, was Michael Ian Black. And then the lower tier, you know, the first seat was always a pretty chick. It was always like a hot chick. So it was Deborah Messing. And then the middle bottom row, which was always Richard Dreyfuss. was Richard Dreyfuss. That's right. Richard Dawson. That was J.B. Smoove. And then in the last one, which was usually the smart girl or the smart woman, was usually in that. Like the unusual, the weird, or the smart women were there. Like Betty White always sat there. Patty Deutsch always sat there. Joyce Bulafont always sat there. Fannie Flagg. Marsha Wallace. So it was Sutton Foster, who I only know from Bunheads. I watched Bunheads because it was from the creator of Gilmore Girls, so that's why I watched it. And it was pretty awesome. But I guess she's like a big Broadway star or something. So everybody did a good job. The questions were kind of fun. You know, they did the double entendre stuff. And it moved along at a nice click. You know, they modernized a little bit. The game board is a little bit modern. Obviously, now the money is bigger. But I had a good time watching. If you watched it, 312-981-7200, if you watched any of the ABC game shows. 11 fun facts about Match Game. It all began in a conference room during a corporate creative meeting in the early 60s. Goodson Todman staffer Frank Wayne had an idea. He said, try this, he said to his co-workers. Write down something about an elephant. And try to write the same thing that you think others will. Several answers came up, like, it's gray, it's big. But two people wrote, it has a trunk. Mark Goodman was intrigued with the concept. There were no right or wrong answers, only matching answers. And thus, Match Game was born. It was a completely different show when it first started in the 60s. Completely different. Now, here's the thing. Dick DiBartolo, who has been on this show many times... Dick DiBartolo, the first time I ever had Dick DiBartolo on the show was back when I was with Gary Lee Wright, and this was like in 98. First time I ever had Dick DiBartolo on, it was one of the first times I was like, oh my God, I'm having one of my heroes on the show. Now, nobody knows who Dick DiBartolo is, but Dick DiBartolo still does and wrote for Mad Magazine. Mad Magazine, for a guy who's my age, I'll be 51 next week, Mad Magazine... was a big deal. Was a big, big deal. And Dick DiBartolo wrote so much funny stuff. He was one of the great mad writers. He wrote the Jaws parody called Jawed. He wrote just a ton of really great stuff. One of the funniest and best and most consistent writers in Mad Magazine, which was a major part of my comedy when I was growing up. And he was one of the legendary writers for Match Game. He came up with Old Man Periwinkle. He came up with Dumb Dora. He came up with all those crazy characters that became a part of the show. And Dick DiBartolo was a Match Game writer. And this is one of the facts. The Match Game had been on the air for 10 months when Goodman approached DiBartolo to give him a heads up that the ratings were sagging and NBC was hinting that the show was going to be canceled. Then DiBartolo had a suggestion. Why not put a silly, mad sort of twist, Mad Magazine sort of twist on the questions? And he gave an example. Mary likes to pour gravy on John's blank. And it was 1963, so of course the panelists would give answers like mashed potatoes or meatloaf, but the unspoken possibilities made the audience laugh. Goodson started incorporating these entendre or silly questions a couple or three per game, and the ratings went up. See, Dick DiBartolo, man, saved Match Game. Now, 50 years later, the damn thing's on primetime TV again with Alec Baldwin and a skinny microphone. So, more Match Game facts and game show talk. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. I'm glad game shows are back, I got to tell you. Yeah. You know, how you doing, everybody? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Here until 5 a.m., Steve Grzanich, opening bell at 5, the great Steve Cochran at 6. It is Monday, which means my dad will be calling in a little bit to tell a joke. That, of course, is the theme from the pyramid. There was the $10,000 pyramid, then it was the $20,000 pyramid, the $25,000 pyramid, and then now it's the $100,000 pyramid. And it debuted last night on ABC. And why do I always forget his name? Michael Strahan, who was on with Kelly Ripa on the Kelly and Michael program. He was the host. And I thought it was great. I thought he did a really, really great job. And it was a lot of fun to watch. Watching it last night, I realized that Anthony Anderson is a dummy. Either that or he just doesn't know how to play pyramid, because he was terrible. So anyway, the game shows are back. The primetime, 3 hours of primetime television last night, Sunday night on ABC, were dedicated to classic game shows that have been rebooted. And I got some texts coming in. Mark the Breadman says, my two favorite games as a kid were Family Feud and The Joker's Wild. Ah, yes. You remember? Do you remember when the Family Feud started, and like the first 10 minutes was just Dawson talking to all of the members of the family
and making out with them,
like kissing all of them. But he'd spend the first 5 minutes just like talking to the family members. The game didn't start. Game didn't start till like 5 minutes. He would eat up 5 minutes of screen time going from one person to the next, kissing the ladies, making wacky jokes. Yeah. Or as Mel Torme called him, Dickie Dawson. Dickie Dawson got a little lippy. Dickie Dawson got a little lippy with Mel Torme. You don't do that. Kevin from Iowa said, I would fake being sick numerous times to stay home from school so I could watch Bob Barker on The Price is Right. Oh, man. 630 area code says, I like tattletales. The wives were hot back in those days. You familiar with tattletales, Esmeralda? That's on Buzzer.
Not.
It's with celebrity couples. They would, at the beginning of the show, the wives were backstage. They would be put backstage with headphones on, so they couldn't hear the questions outside. And they would pop up, their heads would pop up on a video monitor in front of their husband. And they would have to match their questions. Like, Bert Convy was the host, and Bert Convy would like ask questions like, do you think that your wife believes in women's lib? You know, and then they would say yes or no, and then the wife would pop back on the TV and see if they matched. They won money for a section in the audience. The audience would split into three colored sections.
So there, it's like Newlywed.
Kind of,
except
yeah.
Except they were celebrity.
Yeah, celebrity couples, and they would win money for the audience, and it would be in three. There was the red section, the green section, and the yellow section. They were called the banana section, because the people in the middle and the banana, they acted bananas. And the thing about it was that they would have to split the money among the crowd. So like, let's say the most that you could win, I think, was like maybe $1,500, and you have to split that between like 100 people, and then you walk out and they give you a check. That was the idea. You want to win a lot of money on that show. You walk out. You don't win. It's not like you're going to win a ton of money.
I guess it's more than you had before.
Yeah, but when you go to a game show, if you want to be on a game show, you want to win like 10, 15 grand. Yeah, I went to a game show. What'd you win? 50.
I like these, but I wouldn't want to be on them because I wouldn't want to rely on a celebrity to win for me. Like in Celebrity Name Game with
Craig.
With Craig. Yeah. Some of those celebrities are morons.
Well, no, that's true. And that's what happened on Pyramid last night with Anthony Anderson.
It's like you're making me lose money here.
Yeah. He's an idiot. I think the guy's very funny. I think Black-ish is a good show, but man, he can't play Pyramid. He's terrible on Pyramid. A couple more facts about Match Game. When Match Game started to, you know, do the wacky story, you know, questions and stuff, that's when the show really took off. And when they started getting their regular cast members, it really became classic at that point. But back in the 70s, there were several words that you couldn't say on television. Match Game contestants and panelists were warned ahead of taping. For example, you could not say urinate or pee. Only tinkle was acceptable. You had to say tinkle.
What about wee-wee?
No, I think it was, as far as I remember, it was only tinkle. Boobs was fine. Because boobs was like the answer to like almost every other question. Likewise, any biologically correct word for the naughty bits of the human anatomy were verboten, as Fanny Flagg found out one day when she wrote genitalia on her card. Director Iris Scutch stormed over to her when they cut the tape and advised her that this is her first and only warning. If she ever said anything of that ilk again, she would be banned from the show. So you could not say genitalia. Boobs is fine. The show was still finding its feet in the first few weeks after it returned in 1973. When it changed its format, Jack Klugman was a reluctant panelist in the first week's episodes, appearing only on the condition that his then wife, Brett Summers, would be invited to appear in the future. Charles Nelson Reilly was an old friend of Gene Rayburn's. The two had worked together on Broadway and Bye Bye Birdie, and Rayburn invited him to play, thinking his sly wit and flamboyant personality would make for an amusing panelist. And then British actor slash comedian Richard Dawson was often sarcastic but had a quick mind and was a good game player. Didn't hurt that he was handsome and charming. He became the third permanent panelist. It wasn't long before the three developed their characters, and it fit like puzzle pieces. Summers and Reilly were the bickering couple, and Dawson was the drawl matinee idol who kissed female contestants. And then it all became a success from there. All right. 312-981-7200. The game show has made a comeback. We'll talk more about it coming up right after this and the news on WGN. Right. Family Feud. Never really went away. Family Feud's one of those game shows that never really went away. But the old school game shows have made a return and to primetime television. Last night, ABC debuted 3 straight hours of rebooted classic game shows. Family Feud, $100,000 Pyramid, and of course, the greatest game show of all time, Match Game. Now, do you like Family Feud, Esmeralda?
Yes.
I enjoy the Steve Harvey.
I
like Steve Harvey.
With his big old teeth.
He's dead. I love Kenan Thompson's imitation of Steve Harvey.
No, it's really good.
It's fantastic. How's it going, playa? You see how many buttons are on my suit? There are 650 buttons on my suit, player.
I enjoy Family Feud.
Yeah, Family Feud. I mean, the classic with Dawson, that's the best.
Right. And some of those people, again,
yeah.
Big dummies.
Yeah, that's right. Because it was Dawson, then it was Ray Combs,
mm-hmm.
then in Louis Anderson.
Yes.
John Herlihy.
Right.
Peterman.
Yes.
The dude from that helped out Tim Allen put stuff in.
Yeah. Oh.
What the hell is his name?
Richard Kind.
Richard Kind.
There
he was, and then Steve Harvey. I think that's the whole. I think that's the whole deal, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Dawson's the best, though.
Well, yeah.
Dawson was the best.
He was just feeling up everybody.
Well, but he was also like a real, you know, he was like, he always tried to make like, and he'd come out and like walk out. He had pinky rings on and stuff, you know. And,
he did. He's a bit garish.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And he would come out and like, he'd, you know, like say stuff to the producer. Like he'd be like, hey, you know, he would clearly, you could see he was in command of that show.
Mm-hmm.
Like if somebody on the staff did something wrong, he probably had him fired.
Oh, boy.
That's kind of the feeling that you got when you watch Dawson on that show. And, like, he would come out and, like, do, like he would, he, you could tell he would love to do a 15-minute monologue. You know?
I'm amazed that he never got just a talk show or something.
No, yeah. Well, he became a tyrant, though. Like, he was a jerk on the last, I've talked about this before.
Yeah.
When he got Family Feud and he was still under contract with Match Game, the 2 years that he spent on Match Game, over 2 years that he spent on Match Game when he had Feud, were a nightmare. Like, he wouldn't smile. He would cover his face when the camera was on him. He got to the point where the last, like, I think 4 months of tapings, he would just wear sunglasses and wouldn't even.
Goodness.
No, it was terrible.
Someone became a prima donna.
Oh, absolutely. He was like, why am I here, man? You know, I've got Feud, man. And Family Feud took over the ratings from Match Game. Match Game was the most popular show. And then when Family Feud came along, it was number one. It beat Match Game. And yeah, he was just like, I don't want to be here anymore.
Maybe that's the episode I saw.
Oh, you probably, well, I mean, if you did,
he
you
seemed,
know.
Everyone seemed, well, I thought what was funny was it was very quiet.
Yeah.
Like when they were introducing the celebrities, mind you, they were not the best of celebrities. But everyone was just like, hello, how are you?
Oh. Maybe it was an early one. You might have seen one of the very first ones.
It was just weird. It was
because
very
especially
quiet.
If Charles Nelson Reilly and Brett Summers weren't there.
Yeah, he wasn't there. Bob Barker was there.
Was Jack Klugman there?
His hair was colored. No.
Okay, I don't know where you... I don't, if, because without Brett Summers and Charles Nelson Reilly, that's weird.
No,
because
Bob
that's
Barker
the,
was there.
Bob Barker made several appearances on the,
right,
on the
so
show.
So is Richard Dawson.
Dawson was there, okay.
And then John Boy. From the Waltons.
John Boy from the Waltons was there.
He was wearing quite a bow tie.
No, was Betty White or
no.
Marcia Wallace? No.
Maybe, I'm not sure.
She's red-haired girl, red-haired woman. She was on Bob Newhart. She was also the voice of Mrs. Krabappel.
No.
Okay. She was a regular on the show.
No. It was quite a boring match. I was
weird.
Oh, I'm done with this.
No, the show rules. Jen in Bloomington says, supermarket sweep, the price is right in jeopardy.
I do love supermarket sweep.
I know. We've mentioned that one
yeah.
before. Jay says, I remember the Match Game with host Army Archer to Variety Magazine. It was on Channel 32 in the mid-60s. 608 says, Ellen has games on her show every day, too. Oh, I don't watch Ellen. I'm usually asleep
yeah,
when Ellen's on.
Like, yeah, they're more like, not obstacle course, but, you know.
Physical challenges.
Throw the something in the
yeah.
something. And
throw the something in the something. That sounds fantastic. How you doing, everybody? I'm Ellen. That's Kate McKinnon's invitation. She just keeps saying, I'm Ellen. I'm Ellen. Robert says, Hollywood Squares with Paul Lynn. Now, see, you can't.
Yeah, no, that's yeah.
You know, that's genius. You know, hey, Dan, see if you can find, because I know on YouTube they've just got a collection of, like, Paul Lynn's answers. It's just like Peter Marshall giving him a question and Paul Lynn giving an answer. And I could listen to that for, like, 5 hours. Just Paul Lynn doing that stuff. Just like giving the answers. He was the best. He was the best. Hollywood Squares was a massively popular show. Huge, huge show. Well, look, here's Jasmine on WGN. Hey, Jasmine.
Good morning.
Hi.
Well, when I was like 8, 9 years old, I'd sit on the floor with my mom and I'd be watching Wheel of Fortune with her.
Ah, yes, Wheel of Fortune.
Of course, at that age, the only things I understood was they're spinning a big wheel, it's landing on numbers, and they have to solve puzzles.
Oh, well, that's pretty much that's the entire game, actually. You got it, Jasmine. You got it.
But I always have a question about it. You know the woman who's always putting the letters up on the puzzle
screen? That would be Vanna White, yes.
Is there a reason she's always looks like she can be at a high school prom with that ball gown on?
Well, that's the way they always dressed her up, and she looks exactly the same way she did back when the show started. She's got to be 60 now. And
wow.
She's been doing, she's been turning those letters for like 40 years or something.
Well, now she doesn't even turn them.
No, she just touches them because it's all electronic
exactly.
Now. Yeah. All right, Jasmine, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Her job has gotten so much easier.
Wheel of Fortune, man. That's another one that never went away. Jeopardy never went away. The Feud really never went away.
No, yeah, it's always
Pyramid
always on.
Went away for a while, came back. Remember Donny Osmond hosted it?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else came back and hosted Pyramid, too, and I can't remember who it was. I remember Donny Osmond came back and hosted it. Of course, Dick Clark was the original. Dick Clark drove me nuts on that show. Drove me absolutely nuts. Like when they were in the winner's circle at the end. You know, and they maybe missed two or three categories, he'd start throwing out, what if I said this? Or what if I said that? And then the contestant says it, and he goes, yep, see, there you go.
It's like, come on, Dick Clark.
He was a jerk.
He was lost already.
On that show, he was a jerk. The show is great. $100,000 Pyramid or Pyramid in general, that's one of the best game shows of all time. Hmm. One of the best game shows of all time. Dick Clark used to make me nuts. Be all condescending and smarmy. All right, jerk. Maybe you should sit here and have the clock ticking down every second. Then, you know, but you're on the side. Oh, I can think all I want. I'm Dick Clark. I have all the
answers.
Yeah. There's no pressure on me. I'm Dick Clark. You know, I'm the America's teenager.
Wow, you really.
You remember him on Police Squad? You ever watch Police Squad? He played himself on Police Squad.
Oh.
He played Dick Clark, there was a bit that they would do every week on Police Squad, which, by the way, is still maybe the funniest sitcom in the history of television. where they would have the shoeshine guy, and they'd go to the shoeshine guy to get the word out on the street, like what's going on the street, and then Leslie Nielsen would give him a 10,
mm-hmm.
and he would like. Yeah, well, the word is that there's this mobster, da, 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 da. And he would give him information on whatever case he was working on.
Okay.
And then, Leslie Nielsen would leave, and somebody else would come up. Like, usually a celebrity would come up and sit down in the shoeshine seat. Like, Tommy Lasorda from the Dodgers would come up and go, mm-hmm. Who's the best left-handed pitcher that's available right now? And he'd give him a 10, you know. and then Dick Clark showed up one time. He comes in, and he sits down, and he goes, how's it going, Johnny? Listen, you got any more of that famous youth cream? And he gives him $10, gives him the youth cream, and he slathers it on his face.
Nice.
It's the best, man. Dan, was there any of the Paul Lynn stuff available?
I'm not sure if this is the one we're looking for. I'll bring it up.
All right.
Just him left.
Vincent Price. Suzanne Bichette. Burt Reynolds.
Oh, my God.
Carl Reiner. Wally Cox. Hope Lang.
And Paul Lynn.
All in the Hollywood Square. And here is the master of the Hollywood Square.
Peter Marshall.
Thank you, Kenny. A very good evening. Welcome to the Hollywood Square. Hello, stars.
Happy Peter.
Welcome once again, everyone. Welcome. Opponents of fluoridated water argued that too much fluorine in a person's system can cause an uncontrollable desire for sex.
Hey, Colligan, man!
Was that Paul Lynn?
Paul Lynn.
But Paul Lynn, he's breaking up already. See, in literature, what is it that writes and having writ moves on?
A meter maid.
Boy, they're really laughing about that, man. And then you cut to the other squares, and everybody's like doubled over with laughter.
The hand of fate.
Oh, yeah, well, that's the answer to the question.
I'll disagree.
The moving fingers. You disagree. Put an X there. Secret square around the world.
Oh, look at
Canada.
That.
Where is it?
Oh, that's Mr. Funny. Paul Lynn, please.
To Paul Lynn. What should you call the group of dancers in a ballet?
Silly savages.
All right. And nobody knew he was gay.
Well, because he had that show.
Right.
Right? Didn't he have a show where he was a dad? And-
yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know, like, in those days, it was like Paul Lynde, he was just funny. Like, sexuality was never entered into it.
He was just extravagant.
Right. And Charles Nelson Reilly, same thing on Match Game. You know, he was just a little flamboyant.
They're just outrageous. That's
he
all.
He was just a little flamboyant. Oh, those were the days, man. I'm telling you. All right. We got a break here. We're going to come back. My dad will tell a joke, and then we'll wrap up the game show talk. And then if anybody watched the stuff on ABC last night, I thought it was pretty great. It was a lot of fun. 847 area code in the world of game shows. Nothing beats Charles Nelson Reilly on Match Game.
He's those glasses, man.
Oh, he was the king.
And wait, didn't he wore glasses and then a
oh, he would
scarf.
Wear an ascot.
Right.
Yeah, a little scarf. Sometimes wore a sailor's hat. He wore a sailor's hat a lot.
I just love he has the he's like, yeah, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
Sailor's hat.
Oh, that's
hat.
No, that's you don't mess around with CNR, man. Jay in Ohio says my favorite game show is Jeopardy. See, I like Jeopardy, but I always feel like a dummy when I watch Jeopardy.
Right. I like watching the kids one.
I like the Rock and Roll Jeopardy.
Oh yeah.
You know who was the champion of Rock and Roll Jeopardy? All-time champ?
Who's that?
Mark McGrath.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Jeff Probst from Survivor was the host.
Mm-hmm.
I used to watch Rock and Roll Jeopardy all the time.
I would think I'd get a little ways in.
Yeah.
More than the regular Jeopardy.
Yeah, regular Jeopardy, unless it was like a pop culture category, right. I'm like, no.
And I mean, that would be one category, and you would lose the
out
rest.
Of six, and I would, yeah, that's exactly right.
You would owe them money.
Like, I'd see a movie category, and I'm like, oh, I'll get those. And then I'd get mad when they didn't call, like when somebody would pick a different category. There's a movie category up there. They go, I'll take U.S. States. Why? There's Oscar-winning actors are up there. Why would you take U.S. States, you idiot? 952 area code says, I love Tattletales. A lot of Tattletales fans here. A little Burt Convy fan club, ladies and gentlemen. 773 says, I like The Chase with that big guy called The Beast on GSN. Have you ever seen that, The Chase?
No.
It's good. Yeah, it's good. 815 area code says, I learned the word whoopee from the Newlywed Game. That's right. You make whoopee. Couldn't say like sex or make love. Got to make whoopee.
So that's where people are learning everything.
They're learning,
the
yeah.
Newlywed
I learned the bird and the bees from watching the Newlywed
Game. Newlywed.
Yeah.
Whoopee. Okay.
See, Steve says, didn't contestants on the Wheel of Fortune have to spend money in some store on the set? Yes, they did when it first started.
There was that Dalmatian.
There was the Dalmatian. We talked about this before, yeah. Ceramic Dalmatian.
How did no one ever
buy
like
that? For like $350.
I'm amazed. It's so iconic. I'd be like, look, I have the Dalmatian from Wheel of Fortune.
The Legends of the Hidden Temple on Nickelodeon has come up once again. That's what it was called, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, let's find out what's up coming up because the opening bell is coming up next. And here's Steve to tell us what's going on. Hi, Steve.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
All right.
Good. Well, we have Brexit. We'll have more on what's happening around the world with the markets. There is turmoil, as you might imagine. Again, today, we'll update that. And then on our Allstate CEO Spotlight, we're going to spotlight a pretty much a college grad student who's come up with a way to send your thoughts to technology for 3D movement. We'll have that coming up next on the opening bell.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Right, have a great day.
You too. All right. Wrapping up the game show stuff here. 262, don't forget about Bob Eubanks on the Newlywed Game. Yeah, Bob Eubanks, host of the Newlywed Game. Jim from Carbondale said the Newlywed Game was funny and great. What do we got? So what is it, just married couples? Because Newlywed Game and Tattletales are right now in the lead for all the game shows. 331 area code says the Saturday Night Live version of Jeopardy with Will Ferrell are hilarious. Yes, they are.
Right, that is the
yeah.
With Norm Macdonald as
Norm
Burt
McDonald
Reynolds.
Norm Macdonald is Burt Reynolds.
Ooh.
That's right. That's it's not my name. It's just look at my name. It's Turd Ferguson. Turd Ferguson.
Oh man.
You see this? It's funny. It's funny. It's an oversized cowboy hat. See. The beauty of that imitation.
I can't even tell them apart.
Well. The thing about the weirdest thing about that was that in that universe, those episodes took place in the late 90s,
mm-hmm.
okay, and the early 2000s. He's doing Burt Reynolds from the 70s, though. That's like 70s Burt Reynolds. So in that weird universe, Burt Reynolds is still the guy from Smokey and the Bandit.
Forever young.
He's like, he's the, you know, and it was a decision that he and Adam McKay made. McKay, because McDonald used to walk around doing Burt Reynolds, and Adam McKay thought it was hilarious. He's like, well, you got to do it on Jeopardy. And he's like, yeah, but Burt Reynolds isn't like that anymore. He's not. That's not the way Burt Reynolds is anymore. He's an older dude
no
now.
No one cares.
Well, that's the thing. And McKay said, just do it. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Because, you know, and McKay's like, do I have to tell you that Sean Connery is not at all like he is on the...
it's like people will accept it as truth.
It must be my lucky day. I'll take the rapists for $200. That's therapists, oh, not the rapists. let's see. Paul Lynn also did the voice of the rat in Charlotte's Web. Oh.
Oh, he... Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh.
That's right. So, all right. You remember I was telling you about the show The Chair a few months ago, a couple of months back? That was the one where John McEnroe was the host, and they would have a guy sitting in a tube, somebody sitting in a chair, and they would hook him up to like a heart monitor and a pulse monitor, and then he'd have to answer questions but keep his pulse rate down.
Oh, no.
And McEnroe would scream at him, "Gotta answer the question!" And so the guy's heart rate would go up, and at one point, I'm not making this up in case you, there's got to be footage out there, they like had an alligator, a live alligator, suspended from a couple of cables, and they were swinging it in front of the guy's face, just so his heart rate would go up. And
where
was
PETA?
I don't know, but they, I mean, I'm not making this up. It was like McEnroe screaming it, because John McEnroe screams. Oh, do you have it?
I'm trying to find it.
Okay, well, we're running out of time. But
I actually would want John McEnroe swinging.
Yeah.
And yelling at you.
But I couldn't. I would remember watching the show, and the idea was you had to remain calm, answer these trivia questions while McEnroe screamed at you and alligators were thrown in your face.
Cool.
That was the show. And if you can keep your pulse rate down, you'd win like, $20,000 or something.
Would anyone win?
Yeah, I think so. Because they had, you know, like, I don't know, there was like some Zen dude who was on, like, you know, they're throwing stuff at him. McEnroe's screaming. Alligators are flying all over the place.
Oh, good.
And it's an unbelievable. It's called The Chair.
I just love all these, some of these game shows. It's like,
but
okay.
That was back in the early 2000s, you know, like after Weakest Link and Multimillionaire and Greed. They were trying to come up with any idea to do a game show.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, let's do one where everybody has to keep their heart rate down and throw alligators, live alligators at them.
You know, and the gross stuff.
Right, and the Fear Factor and all
that
crap.
Yeah, where they would throw you with cockroaches.
Right.
Oof.
Yeah, so anyway. Hey, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is 2 for Tuesday, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh! All right. Well, we'll take a break here. News is next on WGN.